Tonight, our Pretty Late nutrition expert, Kimberly Reddy, stops by the Showcase studio. Then later, we'll check in with Hannah Stanley. And finally, Mark Carman breaks down This Week in Chicago Sports. All that and our favorite geek, Elliot Serrano, riding sidecar as Patty broadcasts once again from the Showcase Studio South. Right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from the River Center Improv. I'm very excited. I'm in San Antonio, and they've set me up inside the comedy club. Craig, this could be very dangerous. I'm actually at the bar broadcasting right now as we speak.
That's awesome.
This is a first. Yeah, this is great. It's one of my favorite clubs to perform. Some of the audience members were asking me tonight if I travel all over the country, and I was telling them there are only three cities left that I do. One is Indianapolis. One is obviously my home city, Chicago, and the other is San Antonio. Those are the only places I really perform if I'm going to... Well, I don't leave, you know, Chicago.
Would you turn down something in, like, Hawaii, or would you go there still?
Would I turn down Hawaii? It's the comedy clubs. I'm just tired. I don't do the Tropicana in Atlantic City anymore because the crowd just got rowdier. Here, it's always, like, there's something where people really come out for a show. They're not, like, impress me, that kind of stuff.
Nice.
It's just fun. How are you doing?
I'm great. I miss San Antonio. I've been there once. It's really fun. That place is great.
The Riverwalk is
Yeah, the Riverwalk is beautiful. I can't even say it. By the way, Elliot Serrano was sitting there.
Elliot Serrano, I just met your soulmate. I'm going to send you a picture. I don't know. Can guys be soulmates?
I have several male soulmates.
All right, good. So, He's got a laptop that is a it's well, I'll send you the picture, but it's got it's all in Star Wars. It's a Star Wars laptop, actually.
It's what is it? Oh, cool. Esmeralda just dropped off a little item that she picked up at the Matsua, a Japanese mall. It's a Star Wars themed treat, which I'm like, I would love to put on an Instagram right now if my phone didn't just die. So it'll have to go out later.
You have a Japanese Star Wars treat from the
Japanese Star Wars treat from the Japanese market, and it's like the cutest thing ever.
Luke Skywalker has the most Justin Bieber hair on it.
He does, actually. He does.
I don't think I like Skywalker with Justin Bieber hair.
Well, he's all anime'd.
He's anime
style.
Anime. Yep.
But yeah, I've seen. Is it one of those new the new Star Wars laptops that Dell released?
I just sent it to you.
Okay.
What's the what is it? A Dell laptop? HP.
HP. Oh, I'm so jealous. Mm-hmm. I want one of those.
Yeah. Did you see it? Yeah. And then the screensaver changes too. They use a new screensaver.
Yeah.
Do you see this?
Yeah. I can't see it because I'm cut off from the internet right now. I'm like Luke, cut off from the Force.
Oh, no.
I'll sign him into the internet.
Yeah. Does it turn into that circular thing that's been roaming around in the new one?
The circular thing?
What's that thing? And it makes
the little ball. Are you
talking
about?
Yeah, and it makes bleepy noises.
Oh, you mean BB-8? Yes. Does it turn into BB-8? Oh my God! I'd want one if it turns into BB-8.
It does not turn into BB-8.
Oh. Fail.
Uriel, how many times have you seen Star Wars? The new one, yes. Because I believe Elliot's up to 5 times. Yeah, Uriel's also seen it 5 times. Am I saying your name correctly? Uriel. Yes.
Is he single?
I just sent you.
I will totally date him.
He wants to know if you're single because he would totally date you. This is the weirdest thing to be in a comedy club after hours. This is worlds colliding. I don't think I've never had this happen before. No, you don't have to turn it. They want to know if they want. Uriel is asking if you should turn the lights down. It's not that kind of show, is it?
We also can't see the lights, so.
Yeah, no, you guys can't.
No, you shouldn't walk towards the light. Isn't that the rule? Don't walk towards the light.
It depends on how you're feeling. I might walk toward the light sometimes. You never know what's going to happen.
Well, if it's your time, you should definitely walk toward the light.
Who knows? Who knows if that's what that means, though? Maybe the light is a lovely, few minutes, and then you come back.
Yeah, but if it's like a short woman saying, walk towards the light, I'd be like, no. You said the light was bad.
Wait a minute.
Wait, a short woman?
What we just found there is that Elliot, if it's a short woman, if it's a tall woman, do you?
From Poltergeist.
Depends on the tall woman.
Oh, okay. I thought you maybe had a fortune that someone told you. Never walk towards a short lady and a light.
How specific.
I'm trying to remember what the proper, it's a little person who is, telling
walk
you
towards
to walk.
The light, Caroline.
No.
Right?
You said the light was bad. You said the light
right.
was
she told
bad.
Her not to. First she said not to, and then she tells her to. Wasn't that the
Well,
the
she's
whole
telling all
the
other she's telling the other spirits to walk towards the light, and then that's when Craig T. Nelson freaks out.
I was just thinking, might as well just finish it off, right? If she's stuck in there,
yeah, exactly.
Might as well just go towards the light. Just go towards the light. It's too late for you. Later.
Why resist?
Exactly.
Man, you guys are like totally, like.
I love that we went
giving up. You're giving up. It all started with me, you know, just having a nice little treat here. And then the lights were dimmed. And then I said, don't walk towards the light. And you're saying, just do it. Just walk towards the light. What's the point? Is that what you folks are telling me?
Excellent recap, Elliot. That was excellent.
Yeah, well done. Full for those catching up to the show, Elliot has encapsulated everything on the show.
We will do
so
that
far.
The rest of the night. Elliot, after the end of every segment, will let us know what we just talked about. It'll be amazing.
Not even just every 4 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm just getting you folks are telling me to give up. That's all I'm getting.
We're just telling you to walk towards a light.
Walk.
No, that's all.
Give up.
So you don't get hurt and like, you know, stumble over a chair or something.
Exactly.
Hey, Patty, question. Are people still performing at the comedy place that you're at, or is it all done for the night?
It's all done. Uriel and I are the last ones. And Colleen, who is working in the office tonight. The reason I can be here tonight is because she likes to work in the evenings. And I knew they wouldn't turn over the keys of the club to me, so I didn't ask. And last night, she was not here, so I could not have broadcasted last night from here. But tonight, they were like, oh, you know, she might be here till like 4 or 5 in the morning, which makes me kind of wonder what she's doing in her office till then. But still, I think there's like, you know, spreadsheets and doing all the balances and making sure she puts all the orders in for liquor and stuff. For comedy clubs, we run on liquor and humor. That's all it is.
I can't take the mystery now. You have to break into her. You got to break into her office. We got to know what she's doing till 4
I go to her office?
Morning. Yeah.
I can't. No, because I can't. Oh, I have to stay here and take pictures of her.
Yes,
behind
please.
Her desk.
Do all that stuff.
All right. I can't go now because I'm tethered to the Ethernet.
That sounded kind of seedy. Like, go break into her office and take pictures of her.
Go.
Okay, well, that
her
part wasn't my
open.
Idea. I didn't say to take the pictures.
No.
That's all.
When I hear Ethernet, I think of the afterlife. And again,
why
walking
are you so
towards
focused?
Am I saying yeah.
He's really focused.
Am I saying Ethernet incorrectly?
You said the ether. That's what I was thinking.
Net. Connection.
Elliot, how was your drive in?
Elliot, are you okay?
I'm fine. Yes. I'm having a dirty chai latte, which unfortunately.
What music was playing in the car ride in? Was it something very, you know, did
no,
it
I was
really
listening,
focus you?
No, I was listening to the Blackhawks post game.
Oh, okay. Good.
I needed Sam Panionovich to like talk me down.
Are you guys still feuding?
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Sam and I, it's going down at some point. Wow. And he's like calling me out on Twitter.
Oh, Rob.
Did you see that?
No.
Did you see that? And of course, you know, Rob Martyr
I don't
there,
know what that was.
Yeah, Rob Martyr is there on the side going, go, go, go. Like telling us to go at it. Like the guy in the lunchroom. Mm-hmm. You know?
Rob, any comment?
Yeah, he's not.
He's coming. He's coming to his microphone. He's going to tell us in a second.
But again, you know.
I don't understand. What happened?
Okay, you know what? Here's the thing. This is the reality of it. Sam Panionovich thinks he's all that and a slice of cheese with a side of chips. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, no. His mouth is cashing, is writing checks. The rest of him can't cash. And there's going to come
his mouth
a time.
Saying?
Huh? It doesn't
what's
matter.
His mouth
this
saying?
Is like why wars begin in the first place and you forget why. All I know is that. Sam and I are going to run into each other soon in the Showcase studio, and that's when stuff's going to get real.
Should we sell tickets?
Oh, yeah. That's going to – oh, yeah.
You want Rob to be the ref, though.
No, Rob is the instigator. He's there, you know, he's retweeting Sam calling me out and saying, yeah, it's on and stuff like that. Again, follow Sam Panionovich on Twitter. Follow Elias Ron on Twitter. You will see the whole feud go down before it's like – we'll probably put a video on Instagram.
You'll have to refresh my memory. I forget exactly how I was poking you.
This is what I'm saying.
No, that was on Facebook.
I don't understand what's happening.
Well, I'm not on Facebook, so it had to have been on Twitter.
You were retweeting Sam calling me out on Twitter.
What did he call
me
out?
And I'm pretty sure you did a retweet, and then you added, he, on the end of it.
Hmm.
You know,
I forget.
Hmm.
You
yeah,
sound so evil.
You did.
It
you
is.
Did, actually.
And it is, and they're going, it's Rob Martyr.
I like the way Rob is playing this. He doesn't remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't. If you refresh my memory, I go on these Twitter runs where I, you know, do a dozen or so a day and then I leave it be.
Then you leave it be. Yeah. And that's what surprised me. I mean, rarely does Rob ever even pay attention to me on Twitter. Unless, of course, it's somebody else at the station
no, well,
calling
you've
me
had
out.
You've had a few entertaining tweets about Star Wars and such, and I'll favorite it and enjoy it and get a chuckle out of it.
You know, now that I think about it, I think you went on a rant about Obamacare, and then right after that, you went on the whole thing with Sam Panionovich with me. And I was like, oh, that's what it is. He's angry
about stuff.
Oh, you
were listening to the show the other night.
Oh, yeah, I was listening to it. I always listen to the show. And then Rob Martyr's like, and I'm going, holy cow, he just got through talking about how Obamacare doesn't work for him, and now he's instigating me and Sam Panionovich. Is there a connection here? Is there a connection?
It's funny that you should mention that. Let's talk about how we talk to each other when we come back, because I posted something on my Facebook page about how President Obama is wrong about American politics. And it was interesting to me the difference between the way some people responded to that article and one response that we got. Jim, I'm talking about you if you're listening. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Baskett, 720 WGN. Sorry for that pause there. I was talking to Uriel, our bartender, about Harry Potter and whether or not Snape was actually a bad guy. Elliot, actually a bad guy or kind of a good guy? Snape
was too complex a character to be able to determine whether good or bad.
Too complex a character. Uriel posits that he was a bad guy who he killed Dumbledore in order to save Draco, so what? That Draco would not. Don't, Uriel, you can't. How about you can't get in the conversation now? I can only interpret what you just told me.
Tell Uriel he's wrong, and I no longer want to date him.
Oh, he says you're wrong, and he no longer wants to date you anymore, Uriel. The relationship has ended. the erotic relationship that never actually would exist has now ended.
I mean, again, I'm straight, but gun to my head, I will go out with a guy with a Star Wars laptop.
See, now disagreements over things like Harry Potter and Star Wars are fine. Political conversation. There's a piece in the Washington Times today that says not only is it impossible for liberals and conservatives to talk to each other, we don't even want to live near each other. That we now live in neighborhoods that are predominantly, you know, just tend to be more liberal or tend to be more conservative. Actually, the line that the writer used kind of made me laugh, that, you know, basically liberals are all living above yoga studios, and conservatives are living in places where they can shoot gophers from their front porches, which just seems like what a weird way to simplify a discussion. I don't agree that we can't have a conversation anymore. And that's why I keep going to Springfield. Elliot, don't you think we can? I mean, you tumble across this a lot on your you engage people politically and also biblically. There are a lot of conversations about religion on your Facebook page. But do you feel like you can still have a conversation? Even if it gets a little bit ugly, isn't it better to have the conversation than to just shut each other down?
Oh, no, I agree. And I think a big part of it, too, is before we went into the break, I was having a little fun with Rob. It's just if you can, like, cut it a little bit with a bit of humor and then just say, you know what, we're discussing things and let's not take ourselves too seriously here. And I think especially a big part is if you can say at some point, concede to the other side, you know what, you might have a point here and you might be right about that, and then now can you see my point of view? I think if there's enough of that going on, then yes, you can have those conversations.
Well, and I think that when Rob says that, you know, when he was trying to provide health care for his family, and under Obamacare, it was exponentially more expensive than it had been previously, you know, that feels personal when something affects you that directly, right? But are those costs a result of Obamacare, or is it a result of the insurance companies being able to get away with that and pointing at Obamacare as to why they're raising their prices? And so it's easy to draw that line, but there's a lot of different factors as to why the costs are going up, not just because of it. I mean, it shouldn't be that way. Having more people insured should actually be balancing out the cost. But instead, the insurance companies are like, oh, you know, well, we got to provide for all these other people, so it's more expensive. I just think that it's causing a lot of problems for people, and it's easy to just say it's that one reason. I think there are many reasons why it's gotten harder for people. Don't you think?
Oh, no, you're right. And the thing, though, is that you do have these more high-profile issues. Again, like with Rob, I mean, I feel for him that sort of thing happens, but then it doesn't really provide any sort of solace when you say, I'm sorry, but look at all these other people who didn't have insurance before who now have it.
Yeah. You know? To say that at a personal cost to you, at least other people are getting it as well, I think that's a hard way to go. I don't think that makes it easier for anybody. I was laughing last night because we were talking about the economy, and people are having a tough time. They're seeing other people succeed and saying that we have this recovery. I have been at pretty much a status quo since the crash in 2008, when my husband lost his job, when the housing market completely imploded. We just never had a lot of money before that, and we have not, you know, we also have not accumulated a lot of money after that. Is pretty much how it's gone for us. So I think that's probably why I have maintained. One of the comments on my Facebook page to this article from the Washington Post, you know, there were a lot of comments. There were things like, you know, why they think Obama has not been able to do more in, you know, at the national level, that he's, you know, a lot of Republicans don't want him to succeed. They've put up a wall. So there were people, you know, having a conversation and giving their thoughts. And then Jim just wrote, the president doesn't deserve to be in office. And to me, that's not a conversation. Why then, right? That, what's the next thought? And that's the conversation. But the president didn't deserve to be in office in and of itself is not part of a conversation. It's just a wall of no, right? When you throw up a wall of no, then you have ended the conversation. Does that make sense?
No, it makes sense. Although I would say to Jim, understand, the president was voted into office. I mean,
right.
We had the deal. I mean, but, I say we as a quote-unquote liberal. We had to deal with George W. Bush in office for two terms, doing a lot of things that people on the left really disagreed with, you know, and the rhetoric happened there, too. So it's a back and forth. And I think we have to learn, as you're saying, shutting off the conversation, saying we don't want to talk about this doesn't benefit anyone.
Right. And not that we don't want to talk about it, but again, a conversation means your thoughts. Then why? What leads you to the thought that the president doesn't deserve to be in office? Right? Because he was a community leader, and that means he's not qualified. Because, as you said, he won the popular election. He collected all the votes necessary in the Electoral College. So what does that statement come from? And especially when you're on Facebook, you have to present the rest of the thought.
Right. And there's a point where I would actually concede that when Obama first ran for office, he was barely through his first term as a senator. And I remember even him saying, when folks were approaching him saying, are you going to consider running for office? He said, well, you know, I'm still a senator right now. I'm not even thinking about that. And boom, next thing you know, a campaign is getting started. So, you know, again, I can concede on the other side. Maybe, yeah, there is a point behind that. But now this is where the conversation is going. He's been in office now two terms. He's been reelected. And there are all these things going on right now that actually have been successes. I can only imagine what other successes could have occurred had he had a House and a Senate that was more working with him instead of getting in the way.
Well, and that's what one of our listeners, Luna, who's often posting some things on our page, and she has a conversation, right? She said, the problem is that the elected officials allegedly representing us in Washington increasingly don't and only do what their wealthy donors want. By the way, she has found that Scott Stantis, for example, is much more reasonable than most Republicans holding elective office. But he can afford to be. He isn't ticking off the Koch brothers or Art Pope or Sheldon Adelson by having a non-extremist position. And that's kind of what goes to what the politicians will, you know, what their tone is. Does it depend on who their donors are? Is that why Trump is doing so well and why Bernie Sanders is doing so well? Because both of them are saying, hey, I don't answer to wealthier than me, because, you know, Sanders says he has more donors that are giving, you know, an average of, what is it, like $76? And Trump, you know, he's wealthy enough to not have to listen to anybody, and he can say whatever he wants. Right. And I think that's why people are drawn to them because they say things that no other politician will. Go ahead.
It is interesting that, you know, those names that you just rattled off, obviously people on the right. But then let's not forget there's also a billionaire on the left named George Soros, who certainly has an agenda. And, you know, that certainly lines up with what the Democrats want as well.
I like for my 3-1. It's always Soros. You know, there's a
that's the name that comes to mind. Quick Google search will certainly render a lot more on the left that have big bucks.
Yes, and this article admits that it's both sides. That it is, and this one's going after Obama for being pretty much naive. And this piece in the Washington Post is entirely off of his speech yesterday in Springfield, by the way, that it's kind of lofty, and that you know, the conversation has gotten away from everybody. That it doesn't seem to be a middle ground anymore, and it's only getting farther and farther apart. And when you have, you know, Bernie Sanders who says there has to be a revolution, and you have Donald Trump who has a lot of anti-immigration, sexist, bully tactics, you know, if these are what we are drawn to right now, because basically they are the ones that are doing the most successfully in these campaigns nationwide, then where is everybody else left to, you know, I don't go with either one of those ideas. I've told you before, I have nobody in this race that I'm drawn to. I find this, I'm discouraged, but I'm inspired by conversation and hopeful that we can all figure out something better than what's out there right now. I don't know.
Well, I think that probably the thing that we really need to remember is that we, the voter, the populace, are the ones that need to be having these conversations. And then once that's decided, the folks who are running for office follow kind of that lead. I think too often we allow the folks who are running for office to dictate the narrative and say, this is what the American people want. All I know is I look at the different candidates, and you're like, wait a minute, hold on, that's not what I believe. I mean, come on.
You're not speaking for me. I had to speak for both of us, Elliot, and take a break here. It's Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from the Allstate Showcase Studio South. I am in San Antonio, actually in the Improv Comedy Club at the River Center, right on the Riverwalk, actually. It's a really beautiful town. It's one of the few that I still have. I will leave Chicago for. You know, I'm not going to say that just because it's about 10 degrees in Chicago that's why I booked this around this time of year. Elliot, what is the weather like there? Yes?
The mic didn't want to come on. It's very cold. It is quite cold. How cold is it? To the point where when Craig suggested that you wouldn't do, or you said you wouldn't do a show in Hawaii, I was going to call you a liar because this is it is pretty darn cold.
It is 21 degrees.
It has not come up for me. It has not come up for me, so I don't.
Well, you know what?
If they were to offer it, yes.
If they offer it and you don't want to do it, just tell them you'll send me in their stead. Because
I'm not going to name the state. I'm not going to say the states that I've said no to in the last few months. But I'm just saying this is the one I said yes to. That's all. I haven't been offered Hawaii, so I haven't said no to Hawaii. How's that?
I don't know, but you made it sound like you would, and which is, I would say, come on.
I would.
Seriously?
I would not say no to Hawaii. Of course not.
All right.
Yeah, who says no to Hawaii? Mm-hmm. No matter what you're going to do in Hawaii, you say yes.
Not this girl. We were going to talk about Harry Potter later, but I think we can do it right now, as a matter of fact. What are the rumors right now, Craig, about a book 8 coming out 19 years later, and Harry Potter's all disgruntled about his job at the Ministry of Magic, and he's got like, what, 3 kids and a potbelly? Yeah. What's happening?
It's going to be really boring. It's just going to be his life now. There's not really going to be a lot of magic in the book.
No. He goes to CrossFit classes to feel good about himself. Right. What's he doing?
Toward the end. Yeah, no, I think you're completely right. I think that's exactly correct.
No,
Elliot?
No, you're wrong. He's doing stair climbing.
No?
He's going to do the fight climbing? For air climb. But it's a fight for muggles climb.
Mm-hmm. By the way, go to WGNradio.com to see our video encouraging you to join us for the fight for air climb coming up on March 6th, presented by United Healthcare and the American Lung Association. Hope you'll join us. Go ahead, Craig.
I get tired watching those videos, to be honest.
what are you talking about? You've been in those videos.
I have. It makes me tired.
Yes.
I was going to say, but the book, actually, that's being released in July is the script to the stage play that will be debuting in London soon. So that's what it is. It's 19 years after the end of the Deathly Hallows, and it's the stage play that
is it written by J.K.?
Yes, written by J.K. Rowling, and another writer turned it into a stage play.
But it also tells the story of how the parents died, and a bunch of there's like flashbacks and stuff. So
yeah, but
a whole lot.
All the stuff that happens later, and if I understand correctly, it's supposed to be about how Harry's son has to deal with this whole thing about being, again, the son of Harry Potter, this great. You know, this great auror who
the same way he had to deal with his with being who he was.
Correct.
Harry had to deal with being the boy who survived. Right.
Correct. The boy who lived.
Yes.
So there's all this talk where folks are saying, oh, it's the new book. Well, technically, it's not a new book. It's just it is a new story, but it's the stage play. So when you read it, it'll be like reading, a script from maybe a Mamet play or something like that.
Well, it's smart because a lot of the big Broadway musicals or plays seem to be a little bit 30 years behind. You know, we got Footloose and Dirty Dancing. This seems like, okay, the excitement has sort of, petered down a little bit, has come down from all the movies and the books are done. Why not do a stage version? And then that can live for years.
Right.
You have touring groups.
And then you know that at some point they're going to say, hey, let's take this stage play and turn it into a movie.
Into a movie, right? See,
So there you go.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea at all. I, by the way, Craig, we didn't even talk about this last night. You went to the theater, didn't you? We talked a little bit about it.
Yeah, I saw Cabaret. And then the night before, I actually also went to a Broadway show. I said, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, which is a one-man
show. Okay, let's start with that one. Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, okay?
Yeah.
I was offered the tickets to that show.
Yes,
and
you were.
And Stephanie laughed because I just kind of looked at her. That book came out in the 90s, didn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So it's interesting because it's a one-man show, and he's trying to make a lot of jokes, but he is using the material from the book. And I'm going to tell you, some
yes.
of it's a little dated
yes.
and a little bit sexist.
What? Tell me something that dates
there's a whole concept about how women are much more emotional than men, and having a conversation, you have to realize that it won't all be rational and logical. You have to deal with the emotional conversation. Well, you, the man, is having the rational mm-hmm. conversation. And I know that okay. there's probably some form of truth founded somewhere in there, but that's pretty, that sounds to me kind of, you know. That's not really accurate.
That women have no we have no logic?
Yeah, so that was a joke, and then the whole audience laughed. That, like, you can't have a rational conversation with a woman, because obviously she's just... And there was a lot of moments like that where the material, and definitely just the way the whole one-man show is done, I felt like I was being sold a book.
Yes, I can imagine it would feel that way.
Yeah, no, the whole time they're like, and then the genius who wrote it, let's go to another clip of Dr. I don't even know his name, but the doctor
Graham.
Guy who wrote it. Yeah, Graham, thank you. So then we see another clip of how he talks about men being able to relate to women when all we want to do is sit on the couch and watch the game.
See, what's weird to me is that's also the same premise for Defending the Caveman. So
yeah.
I don't know. Did I ever tell you I auditioned for Defending the Cavewoman, which never took off? But I showed up for the audition, and it was and the doors were locked. So I was calling and calling, and they're like, "Oh yeah, we had to move the auditions." And I was like, "You guys came after me for this?
You jerks!"
Anyway, you jerks.
But,
well, it was,
you know,
promoted by the.
That being said, I don't want to say it's. I think that it's still worth your time if you can go and kind of like let that material go over you and just because the guy is funny. The guy who does the play he's a funny guy.
Do you know the name of the guy who does the?
I wish I did. That would be all helpful right now, but no, he's I think he's the touring host of this, and he does have a lot of really good moments where, you know, he tells some personal stories, and he does it. A one-man show is always rough. I don't think it's easy to pull that off and make the whole thing. Mm. Shatner didn't do it well. I don't know.
I do one-person shows.
No, that's I liked your one-person show. I liked you. That's true. But it's
well,
you've
got to... And here's why.
Yeah, tell
me
why.
Not why you liked it. I'm going to tell you why you liked it. I'll tell you how I do it differently. And it's not... But it's not easy to then make it a mass market a production, right? I do a very personal autobiographical story. And one of the reasons I call it Lipstick Mom, because I was trying to go after that idea of appealing to the feminine, you know, audiences to sort of like, here, this is something you'll relate to. You know, you want to talk about being a hot mom. And I was trying to market that. But at the end of the story, you know, the thing is, I'm not going to do the generalizations as much as a show like Defending the Caveman
yeah.
or Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. It's very specific. It's my journey. And if you don't know who I am, it's kind of like, why would I go see that woman? So
you make an excellent point.
It's,
because that's what I said. The moments where, and the guy's name, by the way, is Josh Hyman. That is his real last name. Yeah, Josh, the moments where he's telling personal stories and kind of adding the humor that you do for your entire show, those were the best moments. The moments where he's pulling us out of that world, his own real world, and trying to bring the book into it were the boring parts. Or at least the parts that felt dated. Yeah. But then Cabaret was awesome. That was amazing.
Yes. Tell us about Cabaret.
Oh, my
God. There was even a Bernie Sanders joke.
There was. There was a Bernie Sanders joke in the middle of it, which is funny.
Was he in Nazi Germany?
No, he was not there, but they said that they were supposed to be democratic socialists that were something coming up in the future. The MC is really good, which is a key thing in Cabaret.
Yes.
If you've seen Cabaret, the MC has to be good.
Absolutely.
And the actor who plays that role was really funny. And then actually the lead actress, the one who plays the main female role, had an
Apparently,
amazing voice.
Andrea, is it Andrea Goss who
yes.
is yes, because she was on Steve Cochran's show as well. Look at that.
Yeah. No, she was really good. I should have come in for Steve's show to say hi to her. She was amazing.
She looks adorable.
Yeah, she is. No, and she's really, really talented in that. Just the way that she plays kind of the sad moments and I don't know. I love the whole play. And Betty loved it too, and it ends. So have you seen Cabaret before?
I have seen it before. I actually saw it at Columbia College. It was
yeah.
wonderful.
It ends so rough that the whole audience was speechless by the way that the last scene kind of happens and everything. And then everybody just sort of walks off. So you have a really good time. And then it ends on kind of that dramatic moment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And where is it playing?
That is the Playhouse for the Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And then the Cabaret is over on Madison Street. What is the name of that theater again? I don't remember. I got, this is all stuff I should have had in front of me, right? But it's right. It's downtown. Right. It's trying to Google.
Hold on.
Trying,
I'm, the I'm private getting to bank 18 theater. West Monroe.
18 West Monroe. That's the private bank theater.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you had to see the show. I haven't seen a live show in a long time. Elliot, can you think of the last show you saw live?
Live? I want to say
it was a live performance.
I think it was yours. I think yours is one of the last shows I've seen. Although everyone can see my one-man show about a young man falling in love with an older woman and only ending in ruin. It's men are from Tatooine and women are from Naboo.
Ah, yeah. Sounds like an interesting premise. Where are you playing it at?
On the corner outside. So just come on out. I'll be there.
How much do tickets cost?
They're free.
Oh, just good.
I'll have a cup out. So if you want to throw a few coins in there, I'd appreciate it. A little funding would be nice.
Actually, that's where I saw him doing today when I was coming in. Elliot was doing that this evening.
Working on my material. You know, it's called the Off-Broadway run. So way off-Broadway.
All right. Everyone, go check out the Off-Broadway run of Elliot Serrano's one-man play. More after this on Pretty Late, Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Thank you for tuning in Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studio South. I am at the River Center Improv Comedy Club. I'm in their lobby. Everyone's gone. It's weird. It's an empty room where usually there's a lot of laughter and people, you know, kind of excited about seeing a live performance. And it's weird. It's my first time, Craig. My worlds are colliding right now. It's kind of cool. I'll post some pictures soon. Cool. Trying to figure out how to get the best shots. It's weird because I'm by myself. So
you got to go in that other person's office too. By the way, you got to do it.
Oh, I promise I will do that.
Okay, good.
You know, I throw myself out there publicly, both on our radio show and on stage. I perform live, and I'm a little bit vulnerable to people saying things. And I try to have thick skin. And the thing about thick skin is that you kind of either have it or you don't. You can try to develop it. I do my best to react with grace. That's my goal in life, is to handle every situation as honestly and as graciously as possible. But things can push you over the edge. And when I saw this story about a year and a half ago, Gamergate, which, you know what, Craig, I think that Elliot can probably tell us a little bit more about how this erupted. But we've talked about it on the show before, and really it has a lot to do with sexual harassment, going after somebody personally, and threatening to go do so physically as well. Elliot, can you tell us a little bit about Gamergate?
Well, Gamergate was a kind of like an online movement that started.
Battle, right.
That was, you know, under the guise that they were, quote unquote, seeking legitimacy or honesty or transparency in a gaming journalism. So what they were saying is that, you know, they felt that the gaming media was kind of in bed with gaming companies and slanting the coverage in favor of it, when in reality it was just a case of these you know, online trolls were targeting one particular developer by the name of Zoe Quinn, who had created a game, and they were saying that she was in a relationship with someone who was covering games, and that's why it got positive reviews and so on and so forth. And it just pretty much just set off this whole, I call it, you know, one of those Twitter mobs or social media mobs where they go after someone. The problem, though, with this sort of thing, it was more than just insulting her online or saying things about her, but they were doing things like doxing. That's when you go online, you look up a person's personal information, like their address, place of work or anything, and posting it in on message boards where people can see it, and then making veiled threats saying that, well, so-and-so has done this, this is where they live, someone should do something about that. So it was really crossing a line, more than just saying that they felt that the media was being showing her game favoritism, but to the point of just harassing her and literally putting her in danger in some cases.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that she tried to use every legal resource available to extract herself from this. You know, she actually put a restraining order and ended up in a much more complicated situation than she thought that it should be. She was saying that law enforcement officials, the judges, the lawyers are really ignorant about how the internet works. They were telling her, well, just give up your career. They told her to give up her career so that they would leave her alone. Like, just stop doing what you do, little girl, and everything will be okay. That's the tone of it.
Right. I think that's something that I want to say we brought up last week when it came to things of online harassment. I think that is something that law enforcement still hasn't caught up with. That you know, a lot of times we look at things like cyberbullying or, again, online harassment, and the answer someone will say is, well, just don't go online. You know, don't worry about it. The thing, again, with Gamergate was it crossed that line. It got to the point where it wasn't just them harassing her online, but, again, they were putting her personal information out. There were people saying,
yes,
I know where you live, and you shouldn't feel safe. And I can only imagine, you know, if the only other parallel I can think of is if someone found out where you lived and they put it up on a billboard so that everyone can see. You know,
yeah. Once it goes online, it's there forever. We have to take a break here. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
Join the roast of Chicago's own Hall of Famer Richard Dent at Revel Fulton Market on February 20th.
Rest when you want to come.
You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studio South. I am in San Antonio, Texas, at the River Center Improv. Literally, I'm in the lobby of the Comedy Club. And joining us live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue is Elliot Serrano. And in our Allstate Showcase Studios in the Magical Kingdom is Hannah Stanley. Are you still in Disney World? Because I saw a picture of Space Mountain this morning.
No, yes, I am now home and thus far posting pictures because once I'm home, like I feel like I go kind of radio silent, like don't know I'm on vacation, please don't rob me. And then I go on WGN and tell people I'm on vacation.
A debate we had while I was there as well. My mom did not want me to post and I wanted to do some. And yes, I had the same problem.
Yeah. So now that I'm home and I'm actually going through the pictures and I'm like, well, that's a good one. I like that one. That's pretty fun. So then I'm posting pictures.
I got to ask you about Space Mountain. Now, Elliot, have you been to Disney World? Yes?
I have been to Disney World, but I have not been there recently to see all the updates that they've made.
Okay.
But Space Mountain was one of their first rides.
Space Mountain has been there for forever. Yeah.
Right. But I understand that they've turned it into Hyperspace Mountain.
I don't know. I think they just added a few more strobes. I don't know.
Well, there was supposed to be like a Star Wars theme to it, but maybe by the time you got there, they took that out.
No, there's not. No, that's just all.
No,
in your
I was
head.
There in December. Yeah, no, that's your wishful thinking and jealousy. You're both hoping it was happening, and then jealous that it was happening, even though it wasn't.
Did you at least see Chewbacca there?
No, but interesting because, and Elliot, you know this because I level jumped on our friendship and I texted you Star Wars questions.
You did.
Sorry, Patty.
Yeah.
This is now a thing that Elliot and I
do
sorry? Behind your back.
Well, it's funny.
You
started
do it in front of my back. Do it right to my face.
We started talking Star Wars and then it made a left turn into Harry Potter and that's where Hannah was comfortable. So I was like, okay.
Harry Potter is my geek dumb. That's where I was like, he was like, we'll make a geek out of you now. Yeah. And I said, no, I already am, but just in a different genre. But yeah, I actually, speaking of Star Wars and Chewbacca, I saw Star Wars on the cruise ship. So.
But you were on the Disney
you hadn't
cruise,
seen...
right?
Yeah, Disney Cruise, they run first-run movies, like, you know, current movies. And so they had Star Wars and they had The Good Dinosaur. And because I'm on a cruise and it's the Bahamas, I should sit in a theater and watch movies. That makes total sense. So that's what I did.
I actually know some of the folks who were working that tour, and I was really jealous of you because there were some folks from Lucasfilm who were on that boat. And they could have told you a lot of stuff about the movies.
Why didn't you not? Okay, we'll talk about this offline. Patty, hi, back to you.
No, we can talk about it here. Why were there people from Lucasfilms on the cruise?
No, they were there.
I might not know this.
They were hosting workshops. On one of them, Pablo Hidalgo, who is the head of the Star Wars Story Group, was there talking about his new book. And everybody who was on these tours was saying, you need to go to his little talk. He was doing little talks on the boat. And people are like, who is this guy? I go, you'd have to be a total nerd like me. Go to it. And the dude, he knows everything that's going to happen in all the Star Wars movies. Good luck getting any of it out of him.
I would have thrown him into a stairwell and tried to get it out of him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just saying. I'm from Chicago. That's how we roll.
Yeah, make it happen.
Yeah.
No questions asked.
No, I would have FaceTimed Elliot while I did it.
Okay.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Can we go back? I had to go back to Space Mountain. Hold on. Let's reel this in. I got to reel all the talking. You posted how great of a ride it is. I have to disagree. It's a little whippy for me. It's a little...
Here's the thing. We have huge discussions about this in my family for years. I enjoy it because I don't know what's coming. But I think I'm in the sweet spot for height. You're a little bit taller than me, yes? You're like 5'8"-ish?
Oh, thank you. I'll take that. I'm 5'6".
Okay. All right. Okay, so I'm a skosh taller than you at pushing, I'll say, 5'7". But I think it's maybe torso, because I've got a really long torso, so I would sit a little higher than you. My mom, who is probably closer to your height, maybe a little shorter, she doesn't like it. It's too whippy. It, like, pops
it's
her neck
whippy.
Just at the wrong spot.
Yeah, it was, and here's the thing, we could not bring, we brought Declan on most of the roller coasters, but that one, as opposed to the Whizzer, right? The Whizzer is a similar seated situation, you don't have someone, you're not cradling someone, so we usually cradle Declan and make sure we control his head, because he doesn't have great neck control. But this one, like, I have neck control, it's like, whoa, it was a little awkward. See, I like that, I think of the three of us, me, Steve, and Griffin, I liked the least. And I and Declan liked the Haunted Mansion the most, the Tower of Terror.
Oh yeah, see, that's just crazy town. No, I don't like that one almost at all. Like, I would do it, but for a lot of money. Space Mountain to me is like perfect, because I don't like
it's
knowing
great.
That there's a drop coming. I don't like knowing that I'm going to like do. And so for those who haven't been on it, it's pitch black. You don't see anything. You're whizzing through space, and then you take these crazy like hairpin turns, which are likely not at all crazy, but they feel that way because it's pitch black. And then there'll be an occasional strobe light or like whizzing sounds, and it's pretty great. So yeah, it's been my favorite ride since I was a little kid.
Wow. See, I like I like the other ones, like Thunder Mountain and the the Seven Dwarves ride is very fun.
Oh, Seven Dwarves Mine Train, which is a really, really tough to get on. So good for you. You got to get that Fast Pass.
Let's explain Fast Pass, because if anyone's going to Disney World, and I know that like you have to do Fast Pass, and there are different ways to do Disney World on a budget and to save money for it. I was telling the audience this tonight, and my mom might be listening to the show, but my mom's one goal in life that I can remember for the last 10 years at least was to take her grandchildren to Disney World, never to take me to Disney World. And I don't remember as a child if she ever said, I can't wait. Someday I will take your children to Disney World. But it was something that she decided that she wanted to do, and we accomplished that. So I have to say, the Fast Pass is such a great tool to have, and you can do it on your phone with an app too. You just like register.
Well,
for three
and that's
things. Yes.
That's what's interesting is you're given three a day. Each person is given three free Fast Passes, and you can pre-book those. You can pre-book them, I believe, 60 days in advance. It opens at midnight, so if you're going 60 days from today, get on that. And the ones you want to get on are the popular rides, because there's going to be some that aren't going to have huge wait lines. But Seven Dwarfs Mine Train like sells out right away. There's another one, which is Peter Pan's Flight, which is far more toddler, young kid oriented.
Yes.
My kids loved it, right? It's great. But that will frequently be a 75 or 80 minute wait time. So you want to grab things that have statistically higher wait times. And then use them as quickly as you can in the morning, because then you can go to kiosks and get more added to your Magic.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
but the app is the app is genius because we would have a fast pass for a ride and then we'd walk by it and it would, or the app would show us it's in a 15-minute wait time and we're like, well, we're not going to waste a fast pass on 15 minutes. So we would go run over, get in that line, and then on the app shift our fast pass to something else.
Right, you register for a new ride. It is very cool. And you can also make your dinner reservations if there's someplace you want to eat.
Yes, and again, this is not something, Patty and I did not go for free. We paid our own real money. We just like it.
Yeah. No. I asked Griffin if he wanted to go back like in the next year. He goes, can we go in 2 years? He's that kid. And he's like, I like it, but I don't need it right away. We're planning a trip to Canada, I think, this summer, of all places.
Ooh, Canada. Sure, that's great.
Well, we're trying to decide between Toronto, Quebec, or Quebec, depending on, I'm sure both of those are wrong. And
yes.
I think those are the, or Edmonton. Those are the three places we're looking at. And my husband wants to go to Banff.
Okay. Toronto has the Hockey Hall of Fame, so, I mean, there's that.
Oh, good point. There's that.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something very romantic about any one of those places, because Canada, as much as we just think of it as a big open space that has, a lot of room and easier border passes. I don't know.
Yes.
I've been there. I've driven a lot of Canada, but visiting and taking your family there, I've heard, is a great experience too. Like Toronto.
Yeah, we have not done Canada, and Canada's on the list. So,
what's your list look like? I'm curious.
Oh, gosh, we would need a whole other show. There's a list.
There's a list.
No, now, but I'm apparently an honorary friendly Manitoban. That's a thing. And I have some, it's a very, very long, it's a great story, but it's a very long story about how I met these people from Manitoba. And so they've declared me an honorary friendly Manitoban. And so now I feel like I'm one of them.
Lucky you. Certified and everything. Hey, Hannah, hold on 1 second. Let's talk about Harry Potter when we come back, because I know we talked a little bit before at the beginning of the show, and if you're heard the news about
There's huge news.
I think it's actually huge. They're changing
it's
it.
Huge.
The
East Coasters are saying it's huge. Yeah.
Before we go to the break, Craig, is it really an East Coast thing? Do you say you don't say huge?
Yeah,
do you?
I don't do that. I don't. Outside of making fun of Trump, I've never said huge in my whole life.
Huge.
This is huge. What's coming up is huge.
Weird times we live in. More with Hannah Stanley and Elliot Serrano when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting from our Allstate Showcase Studio South. I'm in Texas, broadcasting from the River Center Improv. And Hannah Stanley is home now. She's been at Disney World for a while. So Hannah is at home. Elliot Serrano is in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And I think that it's to some degree, and Craig too, I don't know about Esmeralda, our level of Harry Potter affection. I think we run from hot to cold. Where are we, Elliot?
I'm like, you know, when you first get that cup of coffee at the Starbucks and they first hand it to you and you sip it and you're like, ooh, this is hot. That's me.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
When it comes to Harry Potter, I read the books before I saw the movies, folks.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not only did I read them, but before the next one would come out, I would reread them in order again. So when
Fair
six
enough.
Came out, I reread 1 through 5 to prepare.
I
did it again before 7.
I'm more like if somebody had a Starbucks coffee and they sipped it a few times, and it's still a good coffee, but, you know, it's not fresh, it's not new. They hand it to me, and I'm like, oh, this is good. It's fine.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
Right. You said you liked the coffee I brought you today, Craig.
Yeah, well, I mean, you shouldn't have sipped it so many times.
Oh, all right. Well, that's a good note.
You left your lipstick on the lid.
I'm that coffee
Esmeralda
that's been sitting out for
coffee?
Hours.
I'm not sure how to take that.
Esmeralda thinks that Harry Potter
cold.
Is stale.
Yeah. Oh,
but I guess I'll drink it if it's there.
Have you seen any of the movies?
I saw the first one when it came out, and that was it.
That's I think it's the best one. I know people like Prisoner of Azkaban. Whatever.
Oh, that one's the best. Prisoner of Azkaban is the best.
Can I guess if Esmeralda saw it on a date? Was that a date? It sounded like it might have been a date.
Nope. I was in high school.
All right.
Oh, boy.
You couldn't date in high school?
No. Actually, no. It was really sad. Anyway, that's for another time.
The great thing I do love about Harry Potter is that, you know, you'll find every once in a while, you'll find a gal who's in the Star Wars, but almost all geek gals are in Harry Potter, especially the ones who like dressing up like Hermione.
Wow.
Well, there it is.
Yeah. All right. Don't hold back on that at all.
Oh, my.
Well,
yeah.
Well done, Elliot. The news coming out, and here's the thing, J.K. Rowling does this thing where by drips and drabs, she's been sharing things, you know, I didn't really want Hermione and Ron to be together. I actually thought it should be Harry and Hermione. And, you know, all these other things, and you're like, just, you know, we'd let us enjoy the collection the way it is, the story, the world. Where are you guys on that? Because I'm good with where it is. I don't need anything else from the creator. And she had to do whatever she wants because she gave us this, right? But is how I am at this point.
Yeah, I just stay away from it. I don't pay. I mean, every once in a while it comes out that, you know, a character was gay or a character was this or that. And right. I hear it because it hits mainstream. But for the most part, I just kind of, you know, live in my own little Harry Potter fantasy world. I don't need to keep tabs on what she says.
Well,
Yes, go ahead, Elliot.
No, I was going to say, you do remember Rupert Grint says he believes that Ron and Hermione would eventually get divorced because she would not be able to stand him anymore.
With good reason. Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know. I think with all that they've gone through, they were drawn together. But
yes.
Regardless, there's big news this week. It's exciting. This part I am paying attention to.
Well, there's a Cursed Child, a story so epic in nature that it had to be told in two parts, begins exactly where Deathly Hallows ended. And we already know what it is because she's sharing that information. It's a father-son tale about Harry, the Ministry of Magic employee, and his youngest son, Albus Severus Potter. And it's a play that is going to be, apparently this is going to be opening July 31st. And what a great way to keep telling the story. And I think that people will devour this in the same way we keep going after the Star Wars stories. This does seem a little bit of a, in the last 30 years, there are many of us of our generation, me, Elliot, Hannah, I think we're of the same generation where something is so big in our lives that every time something new comes along, we're like, yeah, I'll do that too. Whether it's Star Wars and now Harry Potter, even though we're older than the generation it was intended for, don't you think?
Yeah, I think Harry Potter was a big one. I mean, I read it merely to figure out what all the fuss was about, the first one.
Yes.
And I think this is when
right.
she was on the third book. And I was about maybe 10 minutes in, and I was like, oh, man, this is good. Like, I have to get into this. Like, darn it, you. But you're absolutely right. It was not intended for, I can't even remember how old I was when I started reading it, but I know I was living on my own. So, like, mid to late 20s. And so, yeah, it was definitely
exactly.
not geared towards me, but it was an escape. And
yes.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, I agree. Elliot, I mean, is it a sort of a creation of our generation that we can't leave well enough alone? Because, I mean, like in the 40s and 50s, there weren't sequels to the extent that we have them now or, you know, carrying on the story, all of that.
Well,
and not that it's bad.
Well, yeah, I mean, on the one hand, you make a good point. I mean, this whole thing, as Hannah said, you know, the books were written by J.K. Rowling to kind of grow up with the audience that she intended them for, but a lot of older folks got into them because they were just so well written.
Right.
And now you have those Potterheads, as Harry Potter fans are, they are now, you're in that point where you're like, wow, everyone wants to know what is going on with Harry, Hermione, and Ron. So, you know, and it's that many years later going, okay, well, and we're embracing that. We're going, wow, this is something that's going on now. Who knows how many younger readers are as fascinated with the idea as, again, the original Potter fans that are now salivating over this whole thing. But, I mean, there was a Gone with the Wind sequel. There's been a Wizard of Oz sequel.
But they were all done in the 70s.
Still doing them. Some they're doing them now. I mean, again, you know.
But they didn't. Yes, but for the same generation. I mean, there wasn't a Gone with the Wind sequel. And unfortunately, the writer, Margaret Mitchell, was actually killed in a car accident. I believe she was writing a sequel to Gone with the Wind. But she died. Beside that, there weren't that many.
I don't know. I mean, there were a lot of the road movies with Bob Hope.
Oh, I was just thinking about those. I was also thinking about those. Those are so good.
Well done. Of a theme.
Thank you.
Sure. Yes.
I mean, I guess they aren't technically sequels, but it was still the same, like, this is formulaic. Let's do it again.
Every single one of those movies is excellent, though. So let's leave those alone. Those are great.
Well, I'm not saying Harry Potter's not.
Wait.
But I mean,
Bing and Bob do nothing wrong. Patty, you don't think so?
Oh, you know what's funny? Big Bing Crosby fan. Also, I like Bob Hope. I actually have never seen a road movie with both of them. Yeah.
Oh no, we got to do that.
Maybe one. How are you a Bing Crosby? How are you a Bob Hope and Bing
My
Crosby
old roommate.
Fan?
We'll talk about it off. We got to take a break. But we watched them all. We had sleeping party, like slumber parties. It was amazing.
Oh no, sleeping parties.
We had sleeping parties.
I don't know what's happening. Hannah Stanley, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We'll talk to you next week.
That sounds great. All right,
excellent. And welcome back. We're so happy that you're home, and I'm glad your family had a great time in Disney World.
Yes, very much. Thank you. And you saw the pirate pictures. I promised pirate photos.
You look spectacular and sultry as a pirateress. I don't think that's a word, but I'm going to use it.
I had my wench on, that's for sure.
Yeah, I like pirateress better than wench. I'm not sure. Lady pirate. I call you Lady Pirate, Hannah.
You can call me whatever you want. Okay.
I shall. Thank you so much, Hannah. We'll talk to you later. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
We're out on the road to Morocco. This taxi is tough on the spine.
Beats the bus, huh, Junior?
Beats me.
Where we're going,
why we're going, how can we be sure?
I'll lay you 8 to 5 that we meet Dorothy L'Amour.
Off on the road to Morocco.
This is fantastic. I am a big fan of both Bing Crosby and Bob Hope, so it makes me laugh. I can't think of a single movie I've seen all the way through of any of the road movies they did, Craig. I like Abbott and Costello, like Meet Frankenstein, mm-hmm. some of those movies. I don't know why. I've seen like The Lemon Drop Kid. I've seen The Bells of St. Mary. So that's a Bob Hope movie and Bing Crosby movie, but I haven't seen them together. I don't know why.
No, they're amazing together. They're excellent together. I love all those road two movies. I mean, some of them, especially the last one, get a little... You know, they're stronger in the middle, and they're not exactly great movies. I don't think anyone would argue there, but I love them.
Is Morocco the best one? What would you say?
Yeah,
the best
I think Morocco is one of the best ones. Yes.
All right.
Yeah, and then actually, the saddest thing about the last one is that Bob Hope had to fight to get Dorothy L'Amour in it because Bing Crosby wanted a younger leading lady.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, go Bing!
Yeah, come on, Bing.
Fight for it. Dorothy L'Amour was gorgeous.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
Elliot, have we lost you in the vintage movie genre?
No, just whenever Craig mentions Bing, I think of that search engine that I refuse to use. So, you know,
interesting.
No one
getting
uses
forced
Bing
on you now too. Yeah,
no one. Mm-hmm. And to me, the only Bing I like is when he's doing a duet with David Bowie for the Little Drummer Boy.
Little Drummer
Boy.
You got
some good Christmas movies out there. You want to get into some Christmas Bing?
Christmas Bing.
There's a lot of good Bing. I'm sorry.
A really good Bing out there.
Get more Bing for buck?
No, a little bit. Just a little bit. I enjoyed a lot of his music. But, you know, there is the same way when you learn something personal about celebrities today might shape the way you think about them. And stories about his treatment of his children might cloud that as well. I don't know if that ever bothered you, Craig.
Yeah, it was disappointing to hear all the... Yes, no, it does.
His kids hated him.
Yeah. No, it's sad because you look up to these people, and actually Bing Crosby is not an example for me. Someone like Michael Jordan is, and then you find out what maybe has happened behind the scenes for Michael Jordan, and you're a little sad that he wasn't so faithful to his wife. But yeah, every single one of those people out there, you kind of have to separate the art that they're putting out, that you're enjoying the art from the person.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a comedian tonight about the comics he's worked with and who've been jerks and who've been nice. And, you know, sometimes you don't need to know, I guess, how someone treats you on a personal level to appreciate what they do as an art. We all have our, Craig, I told you this before, I'm living my life in memes. And like, every time I think of like an example, I think of the idea that someone, you know, everyone is fighting a battle you have no idea about, right? So who knows why you're in the moment reacting some way, or what made you say a certain thing or treat a person a certain way. I don't know. I guess, look, I'm also, at the same time I was looking at Bing Crosby, Kanye West came up in my feed, and I was like, oh, yeah, but that guy.
Yeah.
There's not really an excuse for the things that he says and does. You sent me a link to a fashion show that he did, yes? Mm-hmm. 20 million viewers?
Right.
Why?
Why did people watch that?
I don't know.
Some of those people are really confusing. Justin Bieber is another guy that's successful, but everybody hates him. There's a really funny video out right now of famous actors doing a dramatic reading of Justin Bieber's Sorry song. If anyone wants to check that out. And yeah, Elliot, you're nodding. Have you seen it?
I've heard of it, and I don't know. It's almost enough to get me over my Bieber. I'm not repulsed.
Do you have Bieber fever?
Oh, no. I'm a believer.
You are a believer.
I'm a believer.
Oh, wow.
No, you're not.
I saw her face. Really? I became a believer.
Oh,
now
God.
I'm a believer.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I believe anything he's saying right now, Patty.
We're not buying that for a second there. Elliot.
What's your favorite Bieber song?
Oops, I did it again. Oh, no. I'm thinking that's wrong.
I think you might not be
wrong teen
that.
Star.
Like that's not.
Sorry.
That's not right. Is there anybody that you guys would want to admit on air that you're, you know, you keep under the table that you're a fan of? An artist, a musical artist that you don't really admit readily to everyone? That you can do on the 50,000 watt blowtorch?
I have really no shame. I will say this, and I should be ashamed of it now because of what came out, but I was totally into Ace of Base. But that's because they reminded me of ABBA, which I will freely admit I love ABBA.
Right.
But Ace of Base seemed like ABBA 2.0. Then it turns out that they were like a front for the Nazi party. I think I should not be such a fan.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Ace of Base?
Yep.
Ace of Base.
No.
Nazi,
what?
Nazi group. Yep.
All bad stuff.
Nuh-uh.
Yep.
Keep reacting like that.
No. I'm flabbergasted.
Yeah, here's the thing. Esmeralda has a deal with DiGilio on this as well because he hates Ace of Base, I believe. I heard the other night. Yes? Esmeralda? Didn't he say he hated Ace of Base?
He hates Ace of Base. But me and Dan Chagrou love Ace of Base. Yeah. And he actually just came in and said they're reformed skinheads. Which I don't know how that works.
What? Wait a minute. Are the shows converging right now? What's happening?
There's been 2 days of Ace of Base talk. Speaking a few words about it on Nick's show. One of the nights, me and Dan were having to defend them. And then he had a band in last night, and someone named them as like the first CD they bought. And I think concert, too. So there's a thread.
I saw the sign. I had no idea it was a swastika.
Have you
no,
been to a concert?
No, it's a reformed swastika.
It's a reformed.
Well, in that case, that makes everything okay.
No big deal now. Elliot, have you seen them in concert, Ace of Base? Are you that big of a fan?
Okay, am I going to admit that on the 50,000
watt
blowtorch?
Being asked to, yeah.
Maybe. Maybe I saw them in a mall. Maybe I saw them in a parking lot.
I'm
like
jealous.
One of those, you know, impromptu concerts that they throw up for the kids. Maybe I just happened to be in the front after elbowing a few kids out of the way. You know, maybe. Maybe
okay,
I got a picture of a couple.
I don't know how I feel about this situation right now.
You know,
I'm not sure. I'm a little bit impressed by your commitment to revealing this aspect of yourself. At the same time, I have a little bit of an ick factor.
And also taking out kids in order to get to the front row. That is dedication.
That's the part.
That's the part.
I will say I am not now, nor have I ever been a member of the Nazi Party.
Oh, good.
So
knew that. Yeah, thank you. That's assumed, isn't it? A little bit.
Well, not anymore, as he's saying. Ace of Base fans, we have no idea.
So we're saying guilty pleasures is what you're saying.
Yes.
Greg.
Yes, please.
Guilty pleasures. You like Taylor Swift. And
I
you
do.
Admit that freely. I like Taylor Swift.
I had to work up to that. But yeah, I do now admit it freely.
I guess I should look at my like playlist, right? That would tell me what my guilty pleasures are and, mm-hmm. and reveal that. I mean, like music does tell you who, you know, a little bit of your – Willie Nelson, that's not a guilty pleasure.
No, Willie's great. Like, that's completely yeah. acceptable.
I don't know if I can – you know, I – Go ahead. I, like
no, I was going to say, I just want Taylor to stop writing songs about me. I mean, seriously. It's been a while. Get over it. Move on. Mm. Taylor, trust me, it was great, but move on.
You sound a little bit angry.
I don't know how to respond right now.
I know.
If I treat what you're saying as truth, which I will go ahead and do for a quick second here, Elliot, you made the mistake. You should never have let her go.
She's a bag of crazy. Okay. That's a bag
and
of
who
crazy.
Amongst us can say otherwise about ourselves?
Yeah, right. You just got to deal with that crazy.
She's cute.
Ride the roller coaster that is Taylor Swift.
No, I'm just joking. Although it does feel like, you know, I've dated enough gals where I feel like those are songs that she's channeling my exes and they're thinking about me.
Oh,
you know?
Man.
So.
And Adele can't let go of anybody, can she?
No,
she's
and
calling them 1,000 times. She's yeah.
She's married now, and so you know the husband probably has to start to think it after the first CD comes out, and the second CD comes out, and she's still singing about this one relationship. Then maybe maybe he starts to think he shouldn't let it take his eyes off her. Shouldn't
you know, I think he's fine as he sits on a pile of money.
The money. I think you're right.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Prenup.
About that.
Prenup. Sorry.
Yeah, but he's still sitting on it right now.
Yeah, he can sit on the
They're
pile.
Still
of money
married.
Now.
Wait, the money?
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
Is that awkward to ask your significant other to get a lot of money from the bank so you could sit on it? Do you think that that's?
Oh. No. Would you sit on it or were you rolling? I would roll in it.
Oh, for
I
sure. You got to roll
sit
in it.
On it. Yeah.
You've
I would make
throw
it rain.
In the air. Yep. Exactly.
Just throw it in the air. Oh, CDs. I'm still scrolling through my playlist, trying to find the embarrassing music.
That's
I got
a nice
Mozart.
Problem to have.
Okay,
Florence the Machine.
Is it wrong that I know the words to all those Britney Spears songs? So when they come on in a bar, I can actually sing along.
Are you a fan of Britney Spears?
Well,
I'm going to say yes if you know all the words.
Well, no, because they were everywhere.
Yeah, Esmeralda. They were everywhere, and they're. Esmeralda, come on. Isn't there a song that you hate that whenever it comes on, it gets stuck in your head and you know all the words?
Yeah. OMC's How Bizarre. I hate that song.
And yet you know the words.
Yeah.
See?
Ugh.
Oh, I admit. Oops, I did it again.
But do you sing it? Do you just know them?
Yeah,
and then you
I kind of like bop
silence?
To it. No, I bop to it.
Well, see, then you like them. Stop denying yourself.
I mean, you know, again, Brittany, can you like move on? Really? I mean, K-Feds is a rebound from me.
You know, I feel like, Patty, we're missing a segment here.
It's a really frightening rebound, by the way.
How many famous people has Elliot dated? He should just run through his list of ex-girlfriends.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I like that segment a lot, Elliot. How's that list going?
My imaginary list is getting long. So, yeah.
I'm trying to find... There's actually a lot of... there are a lot of websites about music we love to hate. Now, but we're talking about music we hate admitting we love, right?
Right. Again, the guilty. Right. But I mean, really, what is there out there these days that you can't really fess up to saying I really enjoy? Okay, Bee Gees. Aren't even the Bee Gees cool now?
Why? No. Since when were the Bee Gees bad?
Right.
Oh, what?
Because it's funny. I appreciate
Bee Gees
them.
Are great.
I've got the Bee Gees' greatest hits on my Amazon playlist. And I can now read all the lyrics to the songs. I didn't understand a single lyric in any of the songs. It's given me greater appreciation
of
them.
Yeah, the Lyric Genius on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
That is really cool. Yes.
You can see the... You're like, wow, I had no idea that Staying Alive had such deep meaning to it. You know?
All right. I've pulled up a list of 50 guilty pleasure songs we're ashamed to like. I want to hear what my listeners will say. They won't tell anyone they like, but they will tell us. You don't have to share your real name. You can text us or call us. What songs would you be ashamed to tell people you actually love? And by the way, so at number 50 is Spice Girls' Wannabe.
So song is so good.
And I can't believe... By the way, Journey's Don't Stop Believin' is 49. How can you be ashamed of liking that? Taylor Swift, I Knew You Were Trouble at 48. So let us know what you would be ashamed to tell us you love, and we'll do it anyway. 312-981-7200. Let's go through this list when we come back. I'm Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
the ballads in the back, sweet singers in the front, cruising down the freeway in the hot, hot sun.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studio South in San Antonio, Texas. I am at the River Center Improv Comedy Club, where I'm performing all weekend. If you know anyone in the San Antonio area, please tell them to come see me this weekend. Live in our Allstate Showcase Studio in Chicago, in the Tribune Tower, we have Craig Collins, Elliot Serrano, Esmeralda Leon, our engineer, Adam Phillips. We're talking about songs or you know, just any music you're embarrassed to say you love. Craig, what was that song? I'm guessing that was a guilty pleasure coming out of the break.
Oh, no, that was Esmeralda's favorite song in the world.
That is not a guilty pleasure.
And I think she was also singing
like
along
to it. I
don't
like that song at all.
I think she
but
was
I
definitely...
know all the stupid words.
Go ahead, Esmeralda. Hop in there.
I don't know what it is about the song. It just gets my goat.
Is it wrong that I don't know what it is? I mean, I recognize
how
it and I've heard it before. Yeah. Oh, she mentioned that? Okay, OMC,
yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah. It is wonderful.
All right.
We also have Mike on the line. He wants to give us his guilty pleasure.
Give me a guilty pleasure, Mike.
Yeah, it's yes. Really embarrassing. I'm that White Flag song by Dido.
White Flag.
But I will go down with this.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what.
Yes.
That song there, man, I'll tell you what, I get kind of emotional when that gets on, and I tell you, I'm a truck driver, and that's not good, shedding tears in the truck stop like that.
Yeah, but no one knows why. They don't know why, Mike.
No, that
it's
means
all
you're
you.
A man.
It's all you and music. That's right.
Mike, do you actually sing through the tears? I'm just curious.
What's that?
Do you sing along through the tears? As you're crying, do you actually
yeah.
still sing? Okay, good.
Oh, yeah, man. I got this. I get this rattle trap of a truck. I got that jacked up.
I love that. I love imagining Mike in his cab, in the semi, just jamming to his music. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what, Craig?
We've given away
no prizes this week, have we? I think
we
that
not,
a truck
yeah.
driver, I think he needs a little bit of a good pizza from Lou Malnati's. What do you think about that, Mike?
Oh, that would be really nice. That's
please. Hold. Yes?
Okay.
Yeah, what were you going to say? Tell me.
Oh, I was just going to say it's, you know, just eat through your guilt, you know?
Yes, eat through your guilt, drink through your guilt, dance through it, whatever it takes. Just find your path.
Dance through it.
It's all good. Dance to it. Hold on the light in line, Mike, and Craig will take your information. We are sending out a gift card from Lou Malnati's. Go to loumalnati's.com. Over 40 locations in the Chicagoland area, and you can order that. And you know what? If you can't get it in one of the restaurants in Chicago or the Chicagoland area, they will send you a frozen, delicious pizza. We also have some texts. Craig's getting that information right now, but I don't know if now Bare Naked Ladies 1 week, is that a guilty pleasure to anybody? I don't even know that song.
I don't have guilty one pleasures. Week.
They're all pleasures.
I own
you know
up
what?
To all
I think
of it. I'm like, it's fine.
Yes.
Cry.
Yes,
love
pleasure.
It.
You're right. Esmeralda, pleasure should just be pleasure, don't you think?
Yeah. Don't feel bad
no
about
shame.
It. Exactly.
Oh, Craig, we have a new segment, the No Shame Zone. We just share what we like, and that maybe we should have some shame.
And then no one shames you. I like it. It's a safe space.
Safe space. No one judges. No one mocks. We just go, oh, okay. Thank you for sharing. That's it.
Although
how
that kind of sounds judgy.
Because we're not judging. Because we would if we could, but we've said we won't. Is that why?
I think so. The wording just sounds like, right. You like that.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, all right. We could see that. Right. We have to like sort of temper our responses. Elliot, I mean, I don't think you judge anybody, do you? I mean,
oh,
yes,
I judge all the time. I'm probably one of the more judgmental people than you'll meet. But I mean, I'm not going to tell you that I'm judging you, but chances are I am. Mm-hmm.
I have to go with this one. I actually do like Belinda Carlisle's Heaven is a Place on Earth. I think I kind of love that song. Is that a guilty pleasure? Is that a wrong
no? Not if you
song
love it.
Like?
If you just love it, I don't think that can be a guilty pleasure.
I think heaven is a place on earth.
By the way,
it's
we got
a, Yes.
We got a text message. Someone said that the only song that they think is a guilty pleasure to them is Let Your Love Flow by the Bellamy Brothers.
Oh, no, that's a great song.
By the way, everyone in studio and around said that this is just simply a great song.
It's
this
great
is not
song.
This is not a guilty pleasure.
No, yeah. It's a great song. I hear it. I'm dancing. I'm bobbing to it too. I'm singing along.
I don't hear you singing along at all.
We were waiting.
Was on the
oh, I'm sorry.
Time.
No, my mic got cut off for some reason. What
did it?
What happened?
Are you closing it? I think you're just turning it off.
What?
Yeah, it got cut off, Elliot. Sure.
Oh,
right when you were about to sing.
I like this song. I like Wilson Phillips' Hold On from 1990. I think I like that from my childhood. I like that.
I like strutting to that song.
Yeah.
And I kind of did a few days ago in a Walgreens.
How about Boston's More Than a Feeling? That's a good song.
Oh, no, that one's a great song. That reminds me of the Scrubs bit where Turk and the lip sync band did it.
Yeah.
And while Esmeralda may strut in the Walgreens, I will lip sync in a Walgreens to something.
By the way, Patty, we have Harold on the line. He wants to admit his guilty pleasure.
Hey, guys.
Harold,
how you doing?
Admit your guilt. We're great.
Well,
how are you?
I got a diverse...
What?
Go ahead, Harold. Go ahead.
No,
Go ahead, Harold.
You got to play, like, Beer Barrel Poker or She's Too Fat for Me.
Okay, all right.
But
wait. What?
So polka music, man. I'll tell you what. Everybody hates it, but if I play it, it's just, I mean, I listen to Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, and Britney Spears. I have 20,000 songs in my thing, but I have a wide range. But if you ask anybody in the world if they like polka music who's under 50 years old, they'll say no. But if you play it, everybody smiles. It's like it just makes you laugh and people will just start dancing in the street or whatever if I'm playing it, you know, out on the street somewhere. That's too fit for me.
Here's a little ditty, you can sing it right away. Now here's what you say, so sing it while you may. Here's a little jingle, you can sing it night or noon. Now here's the words, that's all you need, cause I just sang it too. Oh, I don't want her, you can have her. She's too fat for me. She's too fat for me. Much too fat for me.
You know, I think the message of this song might make it a guilty pleasure, Harold.
My grandmother used to play it all the time, and she was a big lady too. She didn't care.
She liked being with men who could handle her. Oh, that was weird. I apologize.
Yeah, no problem with that.
Oh, that's fantastic. So beer polka music is your jam. Is that what you're saying?
That's it. And you know, and Tejano music is basically influenced by that because a lot of I watched a thing on TV one time. They talked about where the Tejano music comes from, and a lot, you know, the tubas and all that stuff is, and the accordion, obviously the accordion didn't come from Mexico. It came from Germans that moved to Texas.
Yeah, well, and there actually has been a long relationship. Obviously, there's a romantic relationship between a lot of parts of Europe. I can't explain it, but there are parts of Mexico where they pay homage to German settlers or people in their communities who contributed to their culture. And yes, there was an influx of music and food that really had an impact in Mexico culturally. So yeah, I agree. Tejano music definitely resembles a lot of the German polka music.
Yeah, I loaned out a CD to somebody one time, and you know, when I got it back, I was talking to the guy's from Colombia, so he had a lot of, you know, his workshop, he had a lot of people playing, you know, they had a lot of music they were playing that was Latin music, and so I brought a CD in, and then when I got it back, you know, one of the girls was like, yeah, she's like, it's kind of old style. Like, nobody listens to it anymore. And I'm like, you know something?
Yeah.
And I says, you know something? I says, I like it because it reminds me of Maxwell Street when I would walk around Maxwell Street. You know, and
there you go. And that's what music does. It takes us to a different place. Thank you so much. And we look forward to hearing from you again. Oh, Craig, is that someone's guilty pleasure? I love that. ABBA is not. I mean, I
no,
guess.
No. That song specifically actually is a guilty pleasure. It from the 630, I'm now okay and confident in my sexuality to admit that I love the song Dancing Queen by ABBA. Now I crank it every time it pops on the radio.
As you should. And I kind of want to do a skate backwards to that too, but that's just me. I don't know why I want to skate to it. I love that. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's a pretty good song.
That's a very good song. What other texts do we have? And do we have any other? Oh, Craig.
Yes, Craig.
Oh, this. What a fortuitous moment.
I know, this is really interesting.
Okay, we've been talking about our musical guilty pleasures, and it seems as though our music psychic, Dr. Lars Dingman, has joined our conversation. Dr. Dingman, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Patty. I sensed you were plumbing the depths of your pleasure, and I wanted to get in on the fun.
Yes. That's a good way of putting it, I guess. What do you have to say when people say a guilty pleasure when it comes to music? Is that really an accurate label for music? Shouldn't it just be pleasurable?
Well, it's all labels. Guilty is labeling. You're judging. You're saying, oh, you shouldn't like this song, but you like it, so there's something wrong with it. The music is it's the rhythm of the soul. So guilty, no. Pleasure, absolutely. Some songs make your ears fill with honey. Others make your ears bleed.
Well, what would you say, too, as our listener who shared Dancing Queen from ABBA? What does that say about them?
About that particular person, he is a time traveler because ABBA is a palindrome. It is the same forwards as it is backwards. So this person in a past life and a future life, they inhabit many realities all at once. They're time travelers, but they probably don't even know it. They just think they like a goofy disco song.
We got some more. We got some more, Dr. Dingman, if you can
right,
handle some of these.
I think we have quite a few. And from you. Now I run to you. Oh, I love
yeah,
it.
Patty.
I'm sorry.
Now go for it.
A little tainted love.
yes. And who is this from? What's the phone number?
Soft Cell. That is from the 312. They're saying that they love Soft Cell's Tainted Love.
Ah, Tainted Love. This is a person who got sick at a Chipotle 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
Whilst on a Match.com date and has not heard from the girl since then. And he doesn't know if it's because she got the craps or because she didn't like him.
Oh, that's very specific. It's not even about the song. He's actually
seen
it in that person's
about,
life.
It's about, you know.
Well,
yes.
We can just keep going then, Dr. Dingman.
Sure.
Chat with me, and if you could, I'd take you home with me.
Macarena? Macarena. Hey, Macarena. Oh, dear. Tata Dingman, are you okay?
That comes to us from Adam in the 630.
Adam, yeah. Here's Adam's problem. He does not listen to people. You see, he does not listen to those around him who are trying to give him advice, because only a person that doesn't listen could actually listen to the Macarena.
Maybe they're a bit of a control freak, or they just like being given instructions. Right?
No, they don't. They are, Adam thinks he's better than everyone else, so he's above them, so he does not listen when they talk, which is why when the music is on, is it physically impacting his eardrums with the vibration? Sure. Is he taking it in? No, because he's too busy thinking, oh, Adam this, Adam that. If I stand just this way, my stomach doesn't look as big as it should in the mirror. That's what Adam thinks about.
Oh, interesting. I think we all fall victim to that. What else do we have, Craig?
This is from Cheryl in the 312.
Oh! Little Shania Twain, is that right?
Absolutely, yes. Patty.
I didn't know that. My guilty pleasure, apparently, a little country music.
And this person's name is what?
Cheryl.
Cheryl. Yes, I'm seeing Cheryl. Cheryl is you're either going to adopt a very large dog, or you're going to ride a pony. I can't really tell, Cheryl, but you'll be riding in blue jeans, and a pitchfork will figure prominently in the day.
Okay.
That is interesting.
Interesting and specific, oddly enough.
I think we're getting a Fly Jam Friday a little bit early for Nick's show, but this one just came in from Donna.
Oh, gosh. Oh, here we go. Yeah. I'm doing it. I like him. I like instructions. All right.
What I'm getting from that song and from Donna is that Donna has not enjoyed sexual congress in over 9 weeks, and she's climbing the walls, and she needs this sexual congress in order to straighten out her brain. So tomorrow she's going to go to the there's a Fridays in Schaumburg, and she's going to be there looking for people to spend the time with.
Okay, there you go. There's a little bit of insight.
It's an Applebee's, not a Fridays. I'm sorry, my mistake.
Oh, all right.
No, wait, difference.
Oh,
Chili's. It's a Chili's.
Chili's. All right.
No, my mistake again. Hold on.
Okay.
Fuddruckers.
Oh,
that's local. Good. That's
a good
choice.
Nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. We have another one. This is from the 815. No explanation. Just this song.
Oh yeah. Craig, tell us a little bit. What song is that? I could sing it, but I'm not gonna.
This is Carrie Underwood, Before He Cheats.
This is a person who lives in a rural area. I don't know what area code this came from, but not in the city, more in farming and green area, and believes that this sounds strange, but this is what I'm getting. He believes that all the animals on his farm are making fun of him behind his back.
I can see that.
Very paranoid individual. The cow and the pig especially mock him, he feels. They, in fact, do not mock him, but the horse mocks him.
Yeah. Oh, the horse doesn't have time for him. Oh, yeah.
We got one more before a commercial break, Patty. This is from Trucker Dave, and he says that he loves this song. He doesn't even know if it's a guilty pleasure to him.
Raining Man! Hallelujah! Ah, you gotta love that it's raining men. That's not a guilty pleasure, even if you are a dude, right, Dr. Dingman?
No, you're wrong, Patty. This is Trucker Dave, and unless, Dave, you're trucking 18 wheels of lipstick and toenail polish, you probably shouldn't tell your friends at the truck stops that this is your favorite song.
Yeah, no, well, I can see wanting to keep that under wraps. You're not wrong about that.
Right.
All right.
It's not a gay or a straight issue, Patty. It's just, think of it. If this were a real song, think of the carnage. There would be blood and broken bones all over the streets.
Yes, you got to be careful when it's raining men. You have to prepare ahead of time.
What kind of umbrella do you get?
Stainless steel. We are talking to Dr. Dingman. He, by the way, if you want to call and share, perhaps some of the music in your shuffle, he can read your, perhaps your past, a little of your future, maybe your present. But I think we have someone in studio who might benefit from your insight, Dr. Dingman. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You become somebody else.
Cool, look like a fool to me.
Craig?
Yeah, Pat.
Is this your guilty pleasure?
It is not, but it is. This was actually suggested by someone from the 773, Avril Lavigne Complicated. Not exactly a man's man song, but I do like it, and Carrie Underwood has an amazing voice. That's from the 773.
Dr. Dingman is on the line. Elliot Serrano is live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Craig Collins in the producer's booth. Esmeralda Leon in news, traffic, sports, weather, everything you need to know. Adam Phillips, our engineer. And we are talking about your guilty pleasures. And Dr. Dingman is giving us a little insight into what that might mean about your life, your past, your future, your present. And what would you say about the Avril Lavigne song, Dr. Dingman?
This is a person who drinks a lot. The French drinks a lot of red wine, but not the good. This is the Charles Shaw. They drink the $2 buck chuck is what the kids call it, and it's they're always having a headache, so they're very snippy, and they bark at their coworkers, and they're unpleasant to be around. And it all is a source from the drinking and the headaches.
So they make their lives more complicated by drinking cheap wine.
Right. You know what? Yes. Drink less, drink better, and then you won't feel like a sewer threw up in you in the morning.
Interesting. Now, Craig, you say we have a caller on
we
the
do.
Line who wants to share. Yes?
Yeah, Marianne is on the line. Marianne, you have a guilty pleasure?
Hi, Marianne.
Yes, it's the blue skirt waltz.
I wanted a long one night till I heard an orchestra play.
Well, that's not guilty, Marianne.
How would you categorize that?
I would categorize that as a nostalgic pleasure. No doubt hearing this song takes you back to when you were a little girl and all the people that taught you how to dance. You're a very good dancer, are you not?
Yes.
Yeah, very good dancer. I see you with the white socks and the big skirt and very lithe and a good dancer. And when you hear this song from years ago, it takes you back to that time. And it was a happy time for you.
Thank you.
I love that. Yes.
Is that correct? Am I getting your vibes correctly?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And the boys liked you. They liked to dance with you, and you liked that the boys liked you.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a lost art of seduction, Marianne. Nowadays, the kids, they swipe left and right on the smart. They don't even talk to each other. Back in the day, a guy would have to walk up to you and say something, right, to introduce himself.
Yes.
What's the best introduction line a man ever said to you?
I really don't know, hon. I forgot.
There were so many of them, you couldn't keep track. There must have been some good ones in there.
That's what dancing will do. It fills up your dance card.
It does. Oh, Marianne, thank you so much for joining us. Craig, let's give away our last pizza. Oh, do we have one more? Let's give away one. We'll leave one for Matt tomorrow.
All right, perfect.
Give Marianne a pizza from Lou Malnati's. Go to loumalnati's.com. Chicagoland has over 40 locations for you to enjoy some of the best pizza there is in the world.
Oh, wait.
Dr. Dingman.
So, Marianne, yes. She's on the show for 8-9 seconds, and she gets a pizza. But I've been on two breaks. I get nothing. Is that how this is happening?
Dr. Dingman, you know, when we have the chance to share our company with each other, I will most definitely take you to Lou Malnati's.
But you're giving out pizzas to strangers.
But Marianne had a lovely story. She couldn't even tell us what the best pickup line was because she had so many of them. It was hard to parcel out which one was the best.
So because Marianne was extra friendly with the boys, you're rewarding her with pizza? What does that say?
Then I'm grateful for her sharing the experiences she's had in her life. How about Elliot Serrano, who's in the Allstate Showcase studio? Elliot, tell Dr. Dingman about one of your favorite guilty pleasures.
Now, wait, this is the same guy. We've talked on before on the radio. Yes, Elliot?
Yes, we've had several conversations, yes.
Yes, and I believe that you have been going through a sexual dry spell that would rival Alfonso Soriano's strikeout streaks, yes?
Yes, still in it, yes.
And I did predict, though, that you would meet a girl while dressed as Han Solo in December. Did that or did that not happen?
I met a girl, yes. I was.
Were you dressed as Han Solo?
I was not dressed as Han Solo. That's the problem, I think is why then things went awry.
What were you dressed as, Elliot?
Oh,
Elliot.
I think it was
Elliot.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I was dressed as me.
Is this one of those moments, Dr. Dingman, where you predicted the future for Elliot so he knew the future so he didn't follow it?
We call that a double back blind.
But interesting.
Elliot, you're not going to meet anyone dressed as you, clearly.
But the
key is you have to let your inner Han Solo out, and for the first to stir those, you have to dress on the outside like you feel on the inside, and then eventually your insides will come out.
But Dr. Dingman, did you see the new Star Wars movie?
There's a new Star Wars movie?
Yeah. Well, something.
He's busy. He's a little busy.
Speaking of Han Solo in the new Star Wars movies, his insides literally come out. So I don't know if that's what you were seeing.
Perhaps I wasn't aware. I picture you in a heroic costume, and when I think of that, the hero that you scream to me psychically is Han Solo.
Han Solo?
Yeah, or maybe you're saying, hand me a Solo cup, those red cups that the kids drink beer out of. Do you have a drinking problem, Elliot?
A
lot of hesitation there, Elliot.
Yeah, I think, since we're going there a tad, I think I've got it under control, though.
When do we go into problem or just a little bit of an even keel, just maintaining?
I see. So I was misinterpreting it. You met a girl while drunk, and that's, of course, she was not enamored of you. Did you erp on her in any way?
Not that I remember. Okay. Not that I recall.
Okay, you think she would have a different recollection if we called her?
I would prefer you didn't.
Do you actually have her phone number?
But you know what? My phone is dead.
Craig, go get his phone. Go get his phone.
Go
get his phone.
We have a text message from the 214. That's Elliot's problem. He's doing too much Han Soloing.
That could be it as well. If the tank is empty, Elliot, the plane won't get off the ground.
I'll have you know, I always make the Kessel run in less than 12 parsecs.
Well, speed is of the essence.
Seriously, can we have your phone? Can we have your phone?
The phone, it's legit dead. My phone is dead.
Yeah, he actually did say when he walked in that it was about to die.
Wait, I think you sent me a screenshot. Can I find a number off that?
It would be wonderful to speak with this girl and ask her what was in that red Sierra Solo cup that you were drinking, what was in it, and perhaps if it modulated your personality in a negative way.
My personality is frequently modulated, so.
And how's that working out for you, Elliot?
Unfortunately, not the way I would hope.
All right. I'm picturing an Easter egg hunt, Elliot.
Oh, I love Easter.
Fertility, yeah. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
Yes. What I'm doing now is I'm projecting my consciousness into the future to try and find the next time that you will actually be intimate with someone that you're attracted to. And I'm seeing...
I'll settle for one I'm not attracted to.
Oh, right. Just a slump buster.
Slump buster? Did you say slump buster?
I did say slump buster, yes.
Okay, Dr. Dingman, I think we need to take a break. Do you want to hold on, and maybe not just for Elliot, it is Valentine's Day weekend. Can you give some advice to the forlorn, the romantically challenged, like Elliot? I'm sorry, Elliot, I don't mean to throw you into that pile, but it's a long weekend for people.
Like Elliot Serrano.
I'm not saying that, but do you mind hanging on the line?
Is what you're saying. And utterly without hope.
I think that we should address this because it is Valentine's Day weekend, and I think you can give us a lot of insight into what people can do, perhaps this weekend and beyond. We are talking to Dr. Dingman. Give us a call at 312-981-7200, and he can help you out with your love life, with your present, with your past, with your future. 312-981-7200. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios South. I am in San Antonio at the River Center Improv and in our Allstate Showcase Studios in Chicago. We have Elliot Serrano, Craig Collins, Esmeralda Leon, and I don't even know where in the world Dr. Lars Dingman is calling us from, but we are so thrilled to have you on the line tonight. You knew that we were... sort of touching on, we've hit a spark with people and the guilty pleasures they found in certain songs.
Yes, yes, you've sparked that quite well.
Yes, and Craig, what was who sent you that song?
That was from That was from the 219 and sings Bye Bye Bye. They also said they like I'm Too Sexy. So those are two guilty pleasure songs.
I think that those are fine songs to find pleasurable, aren't they, Dr. Dingman?
I'm sensing that those both of those songs were songs typed by a father who thinks he's being cool to his daughter in seventh grade. He does not realize that he's anything but with those song titles.
Interesting. We're always just trying to do our best, aren't we?
Sure, Craig, there's nothing wrong with attempting to do it. I just think he needs to shake his phone.
Craig, do we have any other guilty pleasures on our tech screen?
We have quite a few more guilty pleasures, but a lot of them I think would also fall into the Fly Jams Friday category, so we don't want to take that from Nick D. But we do have a suggestion for a song specifically for Elliot. Someone from the 815 says, not only is this a guilty pleasure, but I think Elliot could learn a lot from this song.
What? What are they trying to say about Elliot?
This is about mating like animals by Maroon 5. The song is called Animals, Patty.
Okay. Yes, that's what Elliot needs to get in touch with, that deep animalistic. That's what I was going for with the when I thought it was Han Solo, but with the cup you drink to reduce your inhibition so that the inner tiger will come out. It's more like the... have you ever seen a film called The Wizard of Oz?
Yes. Oh. Yes, yeah, I have.
It's an older film. There's a character in it, a lion, and you would think lion, he would fill you with terror, but no, he's not.
He's a cowardly lion.
You've seen it.
Yes.
The film. Yeah, yeah. You're afraid of your own, you're afraid of being yourself. You have to be yourself or someone else will do it.
Oh.
But okay. So again, we've had this discussion in the past, and I remember the one time you told me I needed to let out my inner beast.
Yes.
And that I had to get up and yell and scream, and that didn't work.
You know why? Because you didn't take off your shirt. You took off one shirt, but you did not take off both shirts, did you?
No.
Okay. So I can lead an Elliot to water, but I can't make him drink.
But, okay, well, Elliot's really thirsty right now, and he'll drink.
Well, I told you, I'm seeing not till Easter, and I'm not so sure what year Easter.
See, that's the thing. You make these really uncanny predictions, and there are days I'll sit there, I'll go, whoa, Dr. Dingman did say this. But it seems like I always go in the direction of what you're saying, and somewhere along the line, a left turn occurs.
Because you don't follow my directions succinctly and completely, Elliot. I told you, I recall this, to stand on the desk in the studio there and take off your shirt and dance around facing the giant, there's a portal or a window or something.
Yeah.
You did it, did he? He took off part of his clothing, but he was not flesh to the world.
He attempted to. He was in the direction of doing it.
Okay,
I can
prescribe. If you go to the doctor and you've got a broken leg and he says, put that leg in a cast, and you say, okay, and then you tape a yardstick with duct tape to it, you think you're going to be able to walk?
Doctor, maybe to give Elliot a break for just a second, we have Paula on the line with her guilty pleasure. She wants to know what it means. Paula?
Okay.
Paula?
Okay. Total eclipse of the moon.
We gotta wait. Riggy's gonna hit the big one.
Yes.
That is a fantastic song, Paula.
Not a guilty pleasure. That's a fantastic pleasure.
That's
pleasurable
song.
All around. Yeah.
Elliot, what color are your eyeballs?
Brown.
Oh, I see. Did you know that, Paula? No. Yeah. What you're doing is you're reaching out to Elliot, trying to extend to him some acceptance and love via this song, because he does have the brown eyes. Did you, were you aware of trying to come to Elliot's rescue?
Not particularly.
Well, thank you, Paula. I appreciate it, though.
I can feel for him. I can feel for him that he has his moments. We all do.
What?
He has his moments. We all have our moments.
Sure we do. Sure. And what I'm saying
vulnerable,
is
sure.
He sounds like a delightful gentleman, and the fact that there's so much turbulence in his love life, I believe it's because he's not following... Paula, give me your top two rules for a fantastic sex life.
No and no. I'm not going to go there.
Oh, that's not fantastic at all. Oh, she's not going to tell us. I see.
Oh, okay. Okay. You don't want to share. I'm just.
I'll give you mine.
You, okay.
Top two rules?
Yeah.
Yes. Hygiene.
Yes.
And displaying pleasure with the activity.
Right. You don't want to look like you're working in a construction zone.
Yes. Those are my two top things.
Okay, can I give my two top rules?
Sure.
Well, yes.
Having the sex exist.
Good
and,
one.
And having it exist. Those
That's
are my,
also a good one.
And no crying.
Sometimes
no
I can't help that. Because, I mean, again, you know.
Well,
it's like.
You cry for pleasure. Yeah.
Well, when you come home from a long trip or wave and you know, and someone's there to greet you, sometimes you just can't help it.
You know, before we give out any more sex rules, should we let Paula go? I feel like Paula wants to get off the phone.
Do you, Paula, you're not going to share your secrets with the love?
No.
I think we...
Okay.
No. Would you agree hygiene...
Yours were very good.
Okay. Thank you very much. Right. I think those are very basic. Hygiene and expressiveness. That's important. Mm-hmm.
Right, because if the hygiene isn't there, believe me, there'll be some expressiveness.
Yeah. Thank you, Paula. Have a good night. We'll talk to you again soon.
I would have given the pizza to Paula.
I know. I feel bad. I don't know how many pizzas I have left. How many did I give? I lost count.
Yeah, and Paula's gone now, too. We did two. Yeah.
All right, then. Mm-hmm. All right. I could have given her a pizza. I apologize.
Everyone gets a pizza.
All right. So, by the way, yes, go ahead, Elliot.
No, I was going to say, Dr. Dingman, before you go, if you have a new instruction for me for Easter, I am going to write it down and follow it to the letter.
Okay. What is the biggest department store in Chicago that would have the Easter Bunny?
Oh, that's a good one.
Macy's. Do you think Macy's?
Okay, there's a Macy's. I want you to go down there. Not tomorrow, but the first thing Monday morning, and apply to be the Macy's Easter Bunny.
Interesting.
This is a good idea.
Let's do this.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because who goes to see the Easter Bunny?
Little kids.
And?
Oh.
Do they drive themselves?
Their moms.
Their moms.
Oh, you're talking single moms for Elliot?
Maybe even a babysitter.
But single moms also have single friends without children, and the friends will go down with them to enjoy a childly moment. It's hot and cold running women, Elliot, and you're dressed as a bunny, which means you can do and say whatever you want. You're invisible.
Dr. Dingman, our engineer Adam, is saying that this might be a bad idea, and he warns Elliot not to go to prison.
No, you're not going to.
if you're a bunny attacking people, Dr. Dingman, there might be some prison. There might be just a little bit.
Those headpieces aren't really good to see out of. You can't tell who you're actually, you know, having Congress with in some cases.
No, I'm not saying actually have the sex with the bunny suit on, although there are people that do that. I'm saying...
Oh, furry conventions. We should do a field trip. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I spoke at a furry convention once. It was very... Talk about hygiene. Oh, my God.
It's hard to ventilate. Mm-hmm.
What this will do, Elliot, it'll give you a chance to talk to women all day long and practice talking to them, and you'll be uninhibited because you'll be in a little bunny suit.
Okay, Monday.
Hey, you know what?
Macy's.
Okay, you know what? We're jumping ahead.
Well, don't do it half-assed.
Before we let you go.
Don't go to Target and apply. It's not what I said. I said Macy's.
Okay. Elliot, you absorb that information. We'll talk about it. We have a little bit of time before Easter. Dr. Dingman, before we go, do you have any advice for those who are perhaps a little bit disappointed with their Valentine's Day weekend looming in front of them? They don't have any romantic, you know, prospects ahead of them for
sure.
Sunday. What would you say to them? How do they celebrate Valentine's
Day? As a psychic, this is just as a human being. Valentine's Day is complete and utter BS. It is a holiday created by avaricious corporations to squeeze $100 off of you for a dozen roses that a week ago were $10. You want to be romantic? Take your broad out on the 12th or on the 17th or just some random Wednesday. Slap a button, take her to some coffee. Being told,
well, show her love on any day, including Valentine's Day or excluding Valentine's Day, is what you're saying.
I'm saying the lockstep forcing of people to go out and do crazy things because it's the calendar says it's February 14th. That's insane. So if you feel bad because of that, that's just corporations reaching into your brain and slapping it around a little bit. Shake it off. It's just another day. Plus, everyone that you see on the street that's not in a couple, you absolutely know is single, so you can talk to them.
There you go. And they'll be miserable and angry, too. So what a great day to meet somebody, Elliot.
Oh, yes. It's sipping the nasty serum of hate.
I love it. Dr. Dingman, we love having you. And everyone can find more about your amazing talents at itunespsychic.com. Again, it's itunespsychic.com. And do you have any upcoming appearances that we can perhaps enjoy?
I'm in Boise this upcoming weekend. I'm speaking at a fashion show for the Potato Board and going to be doing some readings there. And then I'll be back in Austin. And then I'm going to Perth in Australia for 2 weeks.
Oh, wonderful. Australia is a big destination for you. I'm guessing they're a little more open-minded than we are here in the United States. I'm jealous that you go there. I'm jealous of all your fans.
They're all criminals. They're just happy to talk to anyone.
Well, that's just their heritage. Again, thank you so much for your time and your insight. Go to itunespsychic.com for more of Dr. Dingman's wonderful insight. Have a wonderful Valentine's Day, or not, Dr. Dingman. I'm not sure what your plans are, but we hope you have a lovely weekend.
And you too, Patty, and everyone there, even Elliot. Have a good weekend and, keep your chin up.
Elliot, you okay?
I'm doing well. I'm just already thinking about that bunny costume.
All right, me too. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go. The end of the show. Go slow.
Please tell me you're all dancing. I want to know that engineer Adam Feltz is just busting a move.
Yeah,
right?
Wow. I've never seen a move like that before. That was incredible.
He did the worm.
He did it up on the console, too, which I didn't even know he had enough space for that. But,
nice. Yeah. I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Craig, we kind of didn't get to a lot of the stuff we
meant
to get to tonight,
topics.
Didn't we?
Well, Marco Rubio got taken down by a frozen Twix. Is that?
Well, look, here's the thing, right? You know, when you freeze a candy bar, by the way, I used to love freezing Charleston Chews. Anybody else? That was it's better that way.
I agree. Yes. One. No. You're not the only one.
I love a frozen candy bar. Yes, Marco Rubio is enduring some dental pain, not unlike our very own producer. Well, it's a little bit different because, here's the thing. Like, cavities and that kind of work, that happens to all of us. But Marco Rubio is recovering from having broken his molar on a frozen Twix bar. Yeah.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, I mean, look, President Bush was almost taken down by a pretzel. Who are we to judge?
Yeah, we cannot.
I mean, look, I still sometimes when eating, I bite my own tongue. How does that even happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's always there. How do I bite my own tongue or the inside of my cheek? It's ridiculous.
Or you burn the roof of your mouth with, hot pizza.
Oh, and you have that piece of skin that just hangs down and you still keep eating the hot pizza. Oh,
yeah, because you can't stop. I mean, it's already burnt now. Why stop?
Yeah. But a broken molar, that's a little bit harder
to
recover
from. Yeah, that's got to be rough. Dairy Queen is selling a singles blizzard for Valentine's Day. You can go in and just get a singles blizzard, which I think is just a blizzard. I don't know how this is a special.
They only give you one spoon. That's the thing. Because they know you don't need that second
just
spoon.
Eat it all alone.
Yeah.
Oh,
sit
man.
In the corner. Yeah.
You know, I think that there is something to be said. The counter Valentine's Day movement is a smart way to go because there's plenty of people who are like, I don't believe in this, and also I'm alone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good way to go.
Very, very true.
Get those dollars. That's why it exists in the first place. It's all for the dollars.
Scientists have now proven that Einstein was right about detecting gravitational waves, and there might be a way to travel in time, I think, is what I think this all turns into the Flash, Patty.
Part of string theory?
Yeah, it's part of string theory, and I'm not going to be able to talk about this. If you know things, I'm going to sound like an idiot now.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, it's string theory for sure. It's with the black hole and the thing, and then there's, you know, stuff.
Well, I mean, we say that it's possible, but, you know, what, don't mess with that. It seems a little bit, you know, this is like the, what's the atom they're trying to, like, split the God particle?
Oh, yeah, to get the Higgs boson?
Yeah, why would you mess with these things?
Because then we find out how the world was created.
And then what do you do?
Patty, don't ask questions. This is science.
Yes, Elliot, what were you going to say?
Yeah, Elliot.
I didn't think I was going to say anything. But I would say I subscribe to Stephen Hawking's theory about time travel, that we can't have time travel because if there were time travelers, we would have met them by now.
Oh, well, right.
Party pooper.
Unless they were very clever in their in their adventures.
Unless
and they
just,
didn't,
you know, there's a lot of rules. Yeah.
Like the prime directive. They can't, like, talk about it. Or we meet them, but we don't believe them when they say they're time travelers. You know?
Wait a minute. They merged two black holes in order to detect ripples in space-time?
Correct. Yes, that's what happened.
One black hole had the mass of 29 suns, and the other was the equivalent of 36 suns.
Yes.
Why are we messing with these things? This seems dangerous. What laboratory is this happening in that we're allowing this? Yes, stop it. Yeah, that seems a little bit.
Let's go
on to something else.
A little bit risky there. Let me see. I'm trying to find some of our other stories. There's a huge Morgan Stanley agreement, $32 billion settlement for people offering risky mortgages.
Yeah. But here's my question about these settlements that all the banks are coming to. They're agreeing to settlements. Where does – I've been going through these articles. Who gets the money, right? Because this was taking advantage of people. The banks were telling everyone that came in for a loan, oh, no, you qualify for a $500,000 loan. I know you only make $40,000 a year, but we'll give you an ARM, and then we'll refinance and all these things. Who's getting that settlement?
Because you're right, and is it helping – or is it just years and years too late? Yeah.